Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Was with Catherine some words there.
Yeah, she used to live in the attic and occasionally be wheeled out for visitors.
Welcome to Pottering with me, Tom Allen. I'm here in the garden today with a very good friend of mine, Joe Brand, who of course I've worked with for many years on Bake Off's An Extra Slice, and we have a lovely chat. Even though Jo sometimes says that she's not into gardening, she actually is. It's just always lovely to talk to her, whatever she's got to say. So I hope you enjoy pottering with me and Jo today. Jo, thank you for joining me in my little garden.
Pleasure, Tom.
Do you like gardening?
No. Not really. I kind of wish I knew how to do it, because I think to even be base level good at gardening, you need to know quite a lot.
Well, this is my problem, is that I don't really understand anything about it, and I think there's a lot of chat amongst the gardening community about mulching and biennials and perennials and semi-annual. I don't know what they are. I don't know what any of those things are.
Oh, something annuals.
Something annuals.
Annuals this and annuals that, I know.
Exactly. And so I think actually most people just want to have a go and see what grows, and if it doesn't grow, that's fine.
Exactly. And also, by the time I got to like four different types of fertiliser, I gave up.
Oh.
Because you buy one lot of fertiliser and you realise you can only use it on one thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it just sits there for like 2 years and then you throw it away.
Whenever I read about things, there's a lot of talk about sort of, oh, this plant would really like a potash fertiliser or an alkaline fertiliser. And I think, well, I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
So if it gets watered and it gets sunshine.
Exactly.
Or what do you bloody well want?
Nothing. You're so right.
I know you sort of grew up in the semi-countryside.
Well, in the complete countryside, really. I grew up just outside a village in Kent called Benenden.
Oh, yeah, that is very rural, isn't it?
It
yeah.
is, where Princess Anne went to school. I didn't go there. Us plebs were at the village school, but we were allowed at the posh girls' school in the summer to use their swimming pool.
Oh!
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was a glorious place. It was like Mallory Towers.
Oh,
do
yeah.
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which our village school wasn't like. So it was lovely to just go and see how the other half lived, really.
Oh, I bet. I bet. But it must have been nice to grow up in that sort of part of Kent, very kind of calm.
Well, it was lovely. We lived in a converted oast house and we had a huge garden, and my dad quite liked gardening, thankfully. And at the bottom of the garden, there was a stream
was
with
Catherine
some woods.
Was Catherine Zeta-Jones there at any
yeah,
time?
Yeah, she, used to live in the attic and occasionally be wheeled out for visitors. It was really like that,
I mean,
actually.
It very it darling Butter Bay.
It was.
So you lived in an oast house and it was just lovely.
Gorgeous, mm. yeah. And there was a house next to ours, and it was a huge sort of Tudor mansion, whereas we lived next door in the slightly grimmer kind of tinier place. And it was occupied by a mother and daughter. The mother was about 90 and the daughter was about 70. Yeah. And they're very posh.
Oh.
And it was haunted by someone called Lucy Lockett and Kitty Fisher. Do you remember them from the nursery rhyme?
Yeah, who are they?
Well, Kitty Fisher, who was the main hauntress of this place. She was the original headmistress at Bennington School, the posh school. So they invited us over one night when we were about 7, 8, 9, me and my brothers, to stay the night and see if we could see the ghost. So
oh,
it was
my
really,
goodness.
Really exciting, yeah.
Imagine doing that now.
I know. I know, it would be considered a bit odd, and social services would probably have had a little look into it. But
maybe.
Yeah.
A haunting. So Kitty Fisher was the ghost?
Yes.
And did you see her?
No, but I did wake up in the night, get confused about where I was, fell out of bed, got scared, ran down the stairs, and there was a big picture of her on the wall as I ran down the stairs, which was lit up from above. And I thought that was the ghost, so I legged it home across the garden.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And then my dad rented a field at the back and planted 100 Christmas trees in the woods to try and make some money. He rented the field out to someone that had 3 donkeys, and the donkeys broke into the woods and ate all the Christmas trees. So that was a shame. We thought it was hilarious.
Oh yeah. But quite festive as well to have donkeys, I suppose. Little donkeys.
Yeah, it was. And we used to get kids from school down because we worked out if you touch the top of a donkey's tail, I don't know if you know this, but they go absolutely berserk.
Oh.
So we would invite friends down for a ride on the donkeys, put them on, touch the tail, and off it would go, and then buck them off in a big pile of donkey dung.
And Christmas trees.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. So fun times.
Yeah, very lovely. Oh, I didn't realise it was such an idyllic sort of country lifestyle.
Oh, it really was.
Well, one of the reasons I like to do this little chat of the garden is because I think it's nice to bring everyone together and to talk about everything, really. And I know that you're very good at talk. You talk very eloquently about your politics and about your experience of the world and particularly your work as a nurse, which I think is sometimes something we're missing in life at the moment, is just the ability just to converse about people's experiences and just sort of see the world from their perspective.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think sort of like online stuff has created very, very short conversations. And, you know, you look at stuff online and it seems to me that the fewer seconds there are in something, the more popular it is, because people's concentration spans are sort of waning a bit, aren't they, really?
Well, I know I feel it, that I can't read a book. Like, I used to read books on trains and on tubes and would get through novels and would feel like that was a nice thing to do. Whereas now, I would love the idea of that, but the truth is I just go, oh, I'll just have a quick look at my phone. And then suddenly the whole journey's passed or the whole afternoon has passed just with me sort of checking in on a social media platform that I go, well, I don't know what I'm getting from this other than stress.
You must start reading again. I'm going to find you a book that you'll like.
And oh, I'd like that.
I think it's hard to find books that really grip you.
Sure.
And that's half of the problem in a way.
Yeah.
But if you find the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think disappearing into a different world. And I suppose novels, stories are great at just showing you the world from other people's point of view. Again, which is, I think, something we're probably all lacking a bit in the age
I agree.
Of panic. I mean, I find I just panic whenever I look at things online.
Well, no, I know. And it makes you feel, well, especially if you're old and you don't have a lot of work done on your face. Can you tell I've had none? It's so sad.
I'm glad you haven't.
You kind of feel left out, really, because it's not really for our generation in some ways. I don't mean you and me.
No, I don't think it's for
you're
mine
much
either.
Younger than
no,
me,
I don't
but,
think it's for mine.
Yeah.
But I think as well, there's sometimes a sense that, oh, younger people are all about that life, as they term it. But the young people I meet actually are the same as you or I in the sense that they see how it can be very insincere or it can be quite fake, and that kind of sense of comparison, it is quite toxic, as young people say now. Toxic.
Yes, it is a bit toxic, you're right.
Comparison stuff. You've been an advocate for mental health, I know, because of your work in mental health nursing. It's often part of the conversation nowadays, isn't it, mental health? Do you think people's health is affected by technology and phones?
Oh, very much so. I think, you know, a lot of stuff that people see on their phone makes them compare themselves negatively to other people.
Yeah.
Whereas before, we would just get, you know, a quick look at the Daily Mirror or Woman's Own. And we would never feel threatened by that. Well, I certainly not by Woman's Own. But I think it's very easy for people to feel less than they are, because I think online is just a fantasy world where people always seem to be having a lovely time and they're always beautifully dressed and their houses look amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not real life for most of us, is it?
No, absolutely not. Well, I mean, I think it's true when people go on holiday and have these amazing photo shoots done. I think, who can be bothered, like, when you're on holiday, to go down to the swimming pool in high heels?
I'm sure you can.
Well, you know, when you've got them by the door, just pop them on. But that's sometimes the first thing that comes to hand. Like, yeah, it must take ages just to do, like, a whole raft of different pictures to choose the best one and get the lighting right.
And people trampling over all these incredible kind of destinations all around the world. But actually being in quite a lot of danger and kind of falling off things.
I know, yeah, it's mad.
Quite a lot in an attempt to get the perfect pose on top of some very scary rock that's 3 inches wide or something. I don't know why they do it. I just don't really.
But I've seen pictures of like Santorini and places like that with the blue domes that people are obsessed with getting a picture of. And you can get a picture of it. Then if you turn your camera around, you just see like thousands of people all trying to get exactly the same shot. And I sort of think, well, what are you actually getting from that? I mean, there's lovely places in the world, obviously, and it's lovely to see them. But at the same time, I go, well, I don't think I'm going to get anything from that photo. When am I going to look at that photo again?
Well, also, we all know, pardon my bad language here, but when people show you their holiday photos or used to, bored shitless after 5 pictures, aren't you? So to see the wealth of like very slightly different pictures of something, like 100 of the same thing.
Oh my God,
why would you want to do that? It's just, I know.
I suppose one of the things I found with gardening as well is it's taken me out of that sphere of everything being like online or being something that's captured for, you know, to show off with. Alfie, my partner, always says like, well, when you're in the garden, everything's all right. And I think, well, that's probably true.
Yeah, it probably is true. I mean, I admire your approach to gardening, which is kind of amateurish, isn't it?
Very.
Really. And I think that's good because it's not about knowing everything there is to know, because nobody knows that, not even the sort of top gardeners. They can't possibly.
Yes, that's the other thing, isn't it? You kind of get the sense that they all must know everything. I was talking about propagation. You know when you just basically snap a bit off the side of a plant and shove it in some earth?
Well, that's a good description. And this is your next book, How to Propagate, Snap a Bit Off and Shove It. Do you know what I mean? I think people would really
like that. People probably like that.
Yeah, they would.
Maybe
do.
They would like that.
They would.
I mean, the trouble is it didn't survive. It just died. But then I said it to a gardener and they said, oh, yeah, but you've got to do loads and loads of that. You've got to snap loads of bits off the side. In the hope that one will survive. And I thought, oh, well, no one ever mentions that.
No, exactly. And what's the point of that?
Yeah, you may as well just go down the garden centre.
Yeah, exactly.
Go down B&Q and buy it.
Exactly.
Because that's the other thing as well. There's a lot of snobbery about where people go to get their plants and their seeds.
Because
some people will be like, oh, you must go to a nursery, an independent one, or they'll go to those like fancy places where you go and buy lots of ceramics and then spend £100 on a cup of
coffee. Not Sainsbury's then. Is that not quite?
Well, I mean, I've seen them there and you know, like you can get plants everywhere now, which is nice. But some people are like, oh, you must be getting, well, where have they come from? You know, what's the...
Yeah, so it's like when I was at Chelsea last week, this woman was describing some of the plants in the garden. And she said to me, and you see that plant there, I can't even remember what it was called now, but she said, that's grown from a cutting of a plant that was first brought over to England in 1741 or whatever it was. And I mean, I was the wrong person to tell that to because I'd glazed over by the time
Boring.
She started. Yes, I know.
But also, imagine having that plant from 1741 and then just forgetting to water it. Just went on holiday. Oh, God.
Oh, my God, I've killed the 1741.
I knew it didn't like it there.
Tom, I brought you a little something from my garden.
Oh,
right?
Joe.
I don't know if you've ever made homemade elderflower cordial.
No, I've never made that. I like it.
Well, I've got you, there's about 25 elderflower heads there, right? I haven't washed them, so unless you want sort of bugs and that in your elderflower, just give them a rinse. You need to use about 400 tons of sugar with it, I'm afraid.
I wonder why
But it is amazing, and there's lots of recipes online. So I just thought,
thank you.
Knowing you and just sort of pottering about, you might fancy having a go at making some elderflower cordial.
A perfect pottering gift, actually, Joe. You're always so thoughtful. Those are beautiful flowers as well, aren't they?
And lacy, aren't they?
Very lacy, and they smell lovely. Like, that reminds me of this time of year, that sort of early summer kind of just finishing exams at school.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'd be going around the school field, I think.
My grandma used to make elderflower cordial every year, and I wanted to be like her, but I'm just not. I just can't help it. I'd go and buy a bottle.
Yeah, I've bought bottles of it, and I like that.
Yeah, so, well, hopefully.
No, I don't need to.
Yours will be nicer.
I've always had this fantasy of living this kind of Nigel Slater life. Where, you know, you kind of have time to go to the butchers and it's all wrapped up in brown paper and you have a chat with the greengrocer on the way back. And, you know, everything's sort of so kind of paced. And this
that does
time.
Exist somewhere.
Somebody but has I got don't, time
someone's for. Doing it.
Do you know what I mean? Or that you get a glass of something in the garden and we make jam out of it, we make a pickle.
Absolutely.
I've never had any time to do anything like that. Oh, shit, it's all gone off.
No, I know. But I think it lasts for a long time once you've made it, so.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, thank you very much. And actually, I quite like it with vodka.
There you go.
Elderflower and vodka, I think, is quite a nice drink.
I'll get some potatoes for you.
Yes, I was going to say, would you buy? And just 3 years later, they made their own vodka distillery. Yeah. Well, thank you, Joe. I shall
You're
certainly
very welcome.
Make us an elderflower.
And then in about a month, I'll come round with a bottle of vodka and we'll see how we get on.
Absolutely smashed.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Joe, I really appreciate you making time to come and sit in my garden for a bit of pottering about. And I thought what we might do, if you don't mind, is make some window boxes.
Oh, lovely, yes.
Because I like them as a thing that, you know, if you haven't got much time, we haven't got much space, they're quite a nice way to sort of have a bit of a garden. And I don't know, I just like planting things in long troughs.
No, I agree. And I think there aren't enough window boxes in this country. I mean, I remember once going to Rome and getting a train from the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And there are massive blocks of flats with the most glorious window boxes on every kind of balcony. And it just makes such a huge difference to the look.
Yeah, doesn't it? Well, that's what I always think, actually, whenever I go to Europe. Yeah, how lovely people keep their little space, you know, how much
absolutely.
Space they've got. I suppose if you're living in a city, and I've lived in the middle of London at times, and you don't have any space to make stuff. So you might have a couple of pots by your front door, but they do cheer you up, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, lovely. No, I'm well up that.
Okay, well, I've got us gloves and I've bought some geraniums, which I thought is actually quite continental, isn't it?
Yes,
we'll
lovely.
See them in Spain.
Absolutely.
Okay. These are my wildflowers here.
Gorgeous.
Well... And then look at this, the peonies, you come at the right time.
Beautiful.
But you know that means it's going to rain. When they start looking beautiful.
Does it?
Because they'll go, they'll look beautiful, you think that's amazing, and then the rain will just smash them all to pieces. My alliums are out.
I love alliums. They're related to garlic, I think, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's the one thing I know about flowers.
I think you know more than you let on. I've got these two troughs here that I thought would be quite fun to plant up as window boxes.
Oh, yes, what a great idea.
What a fun idea, because I like to grace a window. It's the sort of garden that you can enjoy from inside and out, wherever
Indeed.
You are. And actually, Mum got me these geraniums, which I thought we might plant. These are just normal geraniums there, and they've got quite a bold red flower. And then these are trailing ones. Yeah,
do we want to divide these, or are you thinking those in the smaller one and these in the bigger one?
Well, I was going to divide them up.
Yep, great.
And then I've got some more geraniums here.
Blimey.
I got some ivy, which I thought might be quite a nice trailer.
Right.
So to speak, like at the movies. And then I thought these would be a little bit of added interest.
We're going to be spoilt for choice here, unless like I try really hard to shove all of those in one whatever these are called, I've forgotten. Trough.
A trough. I call it a trough, but isn't that what pigs eat out of?
Yes, but that's all right.
That's all right.
Oh, my God, look at this.
And then I've got these ones, which I thought were quite nice. Sophinia. See, I'd call that like a petunia. There's always another fancy name.
I call that a petunia as well. Do you want me to do the little one? I'm probably better, just because...
Shall I lift it over?
He's a bit more experienced.
No, I'm really not. That's the thing.
Right, I'm going to just have one geranium,
I think. And then these are trailers as well, those petunias.
Are you a good sort of assessor of which colours match? I'm not. You can tell by what I'm wearing.
No, I think
it's
quite nice.
Well, actually, you are. Look at you.
Well, I've dressed as my gardening gloves.
Yes.
But I think there's something nice about just doing whatever the hell you want.
Fair enough.
But whatever you like. But, I mean, they do sort of go in a clashy way. I never walked past a garden and went, oh, no, those flowers don't go together at all. But you would think that people did do that all the time, the way that some people talk.
No, I know. So I think what you do is you make a hole, and then you do this, don't you? And sort of gently...
Well, that's the way I do it. You sort of take the pot off.
And then if it doesn't work straight away, then you just smash
it off, yeah.
With a hammer.
I do a little bit of a break up at the bottom, but I don't think you have to do that. My mum's always saying, oh no, you've got to make sure it's pressed in properly, as though there's this kind of plant thief that's coming to come along. No, they're not it that. No, really push it. No, more than that. More than that. She's sort of a backseat gardener, I'd say. She likes to sit here and go, no, what, have you thought, don't mind me asking, but why? Why have you put that there? Which means I don't like the fact you put that there. I've got lots of nice things here if you want them.
Oh, I quite like that one. Yeah, that purple
that one.
Thing.
That's a bit of you, yeah.
I quite like, well, those, because they're
these
quite
ones,
young and fresh.
Trailing.
Unlike me. These are trailing ones.
A trailing geranium.
Okay.
A trailing geraniuming.
Once you've patted that in and watered it, if that dies now, I will be outraged. Because what else can you do to facilitate it?
Well, sometimes I do feel like I feel a bit resentful with the plants that they go, I gave you everything you wanted. I gave you everything and still you insist on dying.
I know. And no one ever really knows why it did.
No, well, apparently AI now, they're training it so it can give like what the plant's thinking or something. There was a whole thing about it at Chelsea.
That's dangerous.
See, I'm trying to put that nearer I've realised I put that in the wrong place. See, I thought I was being good by planning my planting, and now when it's in, I think, no, I've done it wrong.
That looks terrible.
Does it?
Yeah.
Slightly.
But I kind of quite like the way it's, like, so uneven. And
yeah, yours looks very neat compared to mine.
That's because I'm a housewife. And a very bad one at that. What would be interesting to do is just leave that completely empty.
I wonder if people would go, would they assume something was buried there, was what I was suddenly thinking.
Oh, that's true.
Like maybe someone had buried their goldfish. Yeah, like a little goldfish burial ground. That's what I might assume.
Have you ever had a goldfish that was sent west to the great bowl in the sky?
We never had goldfish. Did you?
Yeah, we had one. And then one day it was there, and then the next day it just wasn't there anymore.
Oh, that's...
Found out some years later it went down the toilet because it died and was floating on top of the bowl.
And so your mum and dad had to come along and correct it.
Yes, that's right, but not tell us.
Not hoping you wouldn't notice.
Make up a story until we were 27 and we could take the news.
Right, we had dogs and we were just so besotted with them. Like when they left us, obviously unbearable. But I think if it happened to me when I was a child, I would have been inconsolable. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You just have to judge. You have to just judge it right. You don't always get it right.
Well, but I suppose all pets.
Dogs are more important than cats.
Well, I've never been very... I've never connected with cats.
Dogs... Oh, you've never connected with
cats.
I've
never made friends with a cat.
Okay.
I think because I am a bit cat-like, maybe.
Well, you're certainly slinky.
That's what I think.
And smooth.
That's what I like to think of myself. But I don't know.
I think I'm like a Labrador. You know, they're the ones that can't stop eating. They've got more... What is that? They've got more ghrelin or something in their system and it makes them just really, really greedy. So I had a friend who used to work in a residential home for the elderly, and her Labrador used to eat everything. Washing powder.
Oh!
Old ladies' pants, everything.
Furniture?
Furniture. But then it would just come out the other end. So you did eventually see it again. So that was
reassuring. A lot of soap powder. That must have been quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, bubbles. Absolutely. But it was fine as well. It didn't seem to suffer.
Yeah, they don't mind. Yeah.
They don't mind.
They don't. They love it.
No, they don't mind.
They don't mind. They don't mind. I was going to put in one more thing here.
Are you?
Didn't you want that one?
No, because it ruins the colour scheme.
Oh, you've been very disciplined with your colour scheme.
Yeah.
Alan Titchmarsh does it where he holds it like that and then he takes the shovel and he goes like this.
Oh, what a poser.
What? And also the mud has gone everywhere now. Why does he do that?
I don't know.
I did his show the other week.
Oh, the Sunday morning one.
Oh,
well, you probably have to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, don't you?
I did, actually, to get there. And it was lovely. Did it with Anita Dobson and Amal Rajan. It was great fun. And they get you to sort of read a poem under a bush. And
and why not?
And why not?
I actually wrote a poem about Alan Titchmarsh once.
Oh, and you should go on.
I read it to him at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Oh, wow. Was it flattering?
Not particularly, but it wasn't horrible either.
Oh, I think he'd like... I thought he was very fun. I thought he was
very
nice...
No, he is good fun. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Long career in broadcasting. I started talking to him about Pebble Mill, which I used to watch when I was off school if I was ill.
I did it years ago, and we were living in a cottage in the middle of nowhere in Shropshire, and we'd run out of butter, right? And there was a buffet there, and they had those little individual... bits of wrapped up butter.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, we've run out of butter, I'll just get some of these. So I got a handful and put them in my bag. Then on the way out, I noticed there was CCTV. God, that looks so awful. Me nicking 5 bits of butter.
Pats of butter. I love what you've done. That's brilliant.
I don't really love what you've done.
No, mine I think is a bit chaotic, no, actually. I might put another geranium up the end, matron. Then
and then I think
done.
We give them a water and then yours thrives and mine gradually fades away.
And radiates.
Indeed.
Jo, a little token of my appreciation. Thank you for joining me here in the garden. Just a little something for you.
Well,
I hope you like it.
Am I allowed to look?
Yes, of course. Mother wrapped it up, actually.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think you might already have one.
Oh, how wonderful. No, see, I was worried that our old one was full of, like, dead bats and stuff.
Oh,
so it's
perfect.
Nice to have a new one.
I did put some dead bats in that one, though. I hope that's okay.
I'm going to try and force a magpie in there.
Good for you.
I'll let you know how.
Well, Jo, thank you so much
for
joining me.
How marvellous.
An absolute pleasure. Well, what a fabulous time pottering around in the garden with my friend Jo Brand. I really enjoyed, as ever, her insight on things, particularly in the way of social media and all that. Actually, maybe it's good to get into the garden and sometimes read a book and get off our screens. But thank you for joining me on this screen. And if you've enjoyed, please come back for our next episode. You could even subscribe. Is that something people do? Subscriptions.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.